message to you today. My scripture reading is in Hosea, and let's go to Hosea 4 and then 1 through 3. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. And then let's go to Hosea 6, and we're going to be doing reading 1 through 3. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. Excuse me, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. And we call on God to bless this message and the words that we bring, and let it be understood as God would have. And my message title today is A Call to Return. A Call to Return. Have you ever known a time that was more pertinent to the title of this message than at today's time, when we hear of so many disturbances, various disturbances, both here in the United States and in all of the world? It's just unreal how things are changing. And it's unreal how evidently the heart of certain people evidently is so far from God, so far from his ways. So a message to return to God. Return to the words that is in his holy word, the Bible. My text is at Hosea 6 and 1, and let's look at that again. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. Isn't that wonderful? God looks after his family. He looks after his children. And he is there to guide us along the way to him through all of our life. But he is also there to correct us when we get off track, when we take the wrong path. He's there to bring us back in line, just as an earthly mother or father would try to do in seeing that their children walk the right path and stay on the right path that leads to a better life, that leads to God, that leads to eternal existence with your Creator and his only begotten Son. Hosea's issued a call to repentance. And I don't know how many of you have ever read the book of Hosea, but it is quite different. And it's very interesting. The implications there, the symbolic language that is most likely used there. And the words to Hosea was, come, let us return unto the Lord. He has torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and yet he will bind us up. He both corrects And then he has compassion after the correction. A call of hope is issued to a troubled nation. And the nation is as troubled as any that you would ever read about, as we read, and part of my scripture reading was in Hosea 4 and Hosea 6. Hosea offers words from God that is for the nation's healing and help to the troubled people that is within that nation. How much like our nation today than evidently at this particular point in time, thousands of years ago, and yet very similar when you read the words that we've already read. They had departed from the Lord in their worship. And Hosea don't hold back any descriptive words to describe what's going on here. He speaks bluntly. And he says that there is no truth in the land. People they might know the truth, but they're not speaking the truth. They're not helping each other in knowledge of the truth. There's no mercy. There's no compassion with fellow men. No knowledge of God in the land. And let's look at John 8 and 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's go back to 31 too. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my words, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth grows out of a relationship with God. Truth comes from God. And you probably can't rely on or trust truth from any other source. It's gotten to be almost that bad. You virtually can't rely on or trust any other source for the truth. And in Psalms 103 and 17, let's look at it. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. Loving kindness from Almighty God lasts forever and ever, everlasting to everlasting, for those who fear him. And righteousness, both to you, your children, and your children's children. God's people had forsaken him. They had no time for him. Lesser things had all their adoration. Can you think of a point in time that was any more true than now and today? With all that everyone has, including our children, all of the gadgets, all of the high technology pads and so forth, it's crowded out almost everything. It's crowded out almost the relationship, normal relationship between father and mother and children. Not to even go any further back into the family than that. But these gadgets and these electronic things, if they're allowed to, and they usually are, they're crowding out virtually everything to the point that there's no time for a normal relationship between brothers and sisters, between father and mother and children. And that's such a shame. The nation had gotten to the point that obviously it needed a great awakening. It needed, in essence, a revival, a great revival. Worship had become formalistic. Worship was not the same as in the old time. It was not a life-changing experience, which it should be, and it must be. Born again, a new life, a new existence, a new way, a new walk. Their worship lacked faith, and it lacked sincerity. It lacked consistency. Could this be a commentary on our country today? They had departed from the Lord in their words. Let's look and review the Hosea 4 and 2. They had departed from the Lord in their words. Hosea 4, 2 says, describing the people at that time, and I'm sure today, in our time and day, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Is that not so true today? You have teenagers in Colorado within the last day or two, 14, 15, 17, whatever, ages, deciding they're going to go to another country and take steps to do what they did, to join a terrorist organization. Is that not amazing? It is unreal. But they employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Reminds me where I read in the Bible that he who lives by the sword is going to die by the sword. To me, we need to make sure that we reinforce that kind of understanding with whoever God allows us to be around, including our families and our children. He who lives in a state of violence and gives violence is going to receive violence. They had departed from the Lord in their words by swearing and lying. And words measure our spiritual condition. They reveal the state of the heart. And I'd like to look at Matthew 12 and starting with verse 33, excuse me, Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. I'd say there is multitudes upon multitudes that don't know or don't believe that a day of judgment is coming. It's inevitable. God says those words. We can rely on it and we can believe it. We can believe it or not, but whether or not we do believe it, it's coming. The people had made profanity their daily practice. And profanity is one of the marks of a decaying society when it's taken up habitually and you hear it day after day. And that's been going on for a long time, even within my lifetime. Whether I like it or not, whether I wanted to hear it or not, that's the way it was. Let's look at Colossians 3 and 8. Colossians 3 and 8. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Is that not clear? We need to have a pure mouth coming from a pure heart. Because what comes out our mouth is going to be reflective of what is in our heart. We need to have right hearts and we need to have pure speech. Lying is not to be taken lightly. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. He is a deceptor. Deceit comes from him. And believers are to put away lying. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and 25. Ephesians 4 and 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are all members one of one another. We are supposed to be in the same family. We're supposed to be God's children. But are we acting like it? Are we talking like it? Are we behaving like it? Are we reacting like it? Let's look at Psalms 19 and 14. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And the words that come out of your mouth, again, is reflective of what is in your heart and your mind. Put good things in there. Put God's word in there. They have departed from the Lord in their works. In Hosea 4 and 2, it's reflective of them departing from the Lord. And you just look at what they're doing. And you see how that is true. Hosea 4, 2. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Their works: killing, stealing, committing adultery. And all of these are forbidden by the Scriptures. And these sins are prevalent in our time and in our day, in America today. These are prevalent. It's not just every now and then. It's prevalent. It's almost hour by hour, day by day. You don't have to go searching to experience these things. Killing brings danger to our streets, to our homes and communities, to our very way of existence. Nothing can be normal with this kind of thing. And stealing costs everyone. Committing adultery increases diseases and ruins marriage. How can there be sincerity? How can there be a consistent family life if there's things like adultery going on? It can't be. And in conclusion, the words of Hosea lets us know that it's time to return. It's time to change your ways. It's time to change the path that America is on. So what I'm saying to you is know these things. And then when God puts you in a certain position to where you can express your opinion or give encouragement to whoever God brings you around, be willing and able to let them know what you think about prevalent conditions and how the days of Hosea and the words that was given to him is so pertinent to us today and to the people of our day and the behavior and the words and the works. Very similar. The Lord says return, and he says return in spite of your sins. Return, and he will forgive. He will have compassion. And you say, how can it be that he's such a patient and forgiving and merciful being? Creator, loving God and Father. That's the way he is. God still calls to the wayward to come, to return. Just like he issued that call and tugged at the heart of that prodigal son, that he had gone far enough. And the prodigal son finally came to his senses and realized he needed to go back to the loving father that he left. And these words in Hosea lets us know that Yahweh will, as one comes to their senses and returns to him, Yahweh will pardon, he will cleanse, and he will revive. That is Yahweh's words in Hosea. And that's part of what the lessons that we read of that the book of Hosea teaches. Right now, I would like to ask if you would stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for each one that's here and each one that is listening to this message in any of the ways in which it is brought to them. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you anoint their minds to understand, their ears to hear. And Heavenly Father, let your will be accomplished. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with these words this morning. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And let's read the blessing together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.